I was going to ask you what the Flash, what Barry Allen the Flash does the most besides running, what would you say?
I mean, it's funny the way you set that up. It is running.
Yes.
What does he do the most?
Yeah.
Can I go for the gross answer?
Sure.
Chafe?
Oh, no. I can't say what I want to say because we're family friendly.
What he probably does the most without any gross jokes is pine after Iris, maybe?
Okay, you're so close. You're being way too generous.
Oh, okay.
The answer is I'm Barry Allen and I reset the timeline.
I travel
back in time.
I was going to say monologue.
Oh, that's true,
I'm Barry Allen, which he actually stole from Wally.
I'm understanding that this is my fault for the way I phrased this question. But Jason, did you know that Iris West actually time traveled before Barry Allen ever time traveled? Hashtag Iris West did it first.
I think I did.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
I think I did. So, yeah. If you're talking about the story that I think you're going to be talking about.
Okay, then. Then shall we get into it? Shall we get into the same story? I can't run and podcast.
Well, run to introduce the podcast.
Okay.
Please.
Well, I'm in the Speed Force now, so I don't have to huff and puff because it's like comic book stuff.
Yeah.
So thank you and welcome to Geek History Lesson, because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or speedster from pop culture and teach you everything you need to know about it in about an hour. And I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
You did it completely backwards.
I didn't even get it. I forgot my name.
Like you did it so backwards that I was like, is she intentionally doing a Flashpoint joke and I need to follow along? Or did she actually forget to introduce herself? Because you're wonderful and you're a podcast host and you are Ashley Victoria Robinson and the people need to know
and
that.
And who are you?
I'm Tam McGillicuddy. No. my name is Jason. I sometimes like Iris Inman. I'm losing this. I'm using this podcast episode to convince me to like the character of Iris West, a very famous supporting character from The Flash. Classically, Barry Allen's girlfriend. Sometimes Wally West's grandma. Sometimes his aunt. Depends on which version you read. It's weird.
My name is Ashley Victoria Robinson, and I'm the fastest podcaster alive. And 9 years ago, I started Geek History Lesson. That's about as much as that monologue as I could remember.
Are you doing the Flash TV show?
Yeah, I was very confused
about what you were just
That's
doing.
Okay. That's okay.
All right.
So we're talking about Iris West, and why are we doing that today, Jason?
Because there's a movie called The Flash that's coming out.
That's right.
Which we have not seen, and there will be spoilers. So shut up about it.
So don't even worry about it. Before we get deep into this, I want to send out a big thank you to our research assistant, Meredith Harris, for all of her hard work on this episode. She debuted as a research assistant on our Leia Organa episode, which was a real doozy. So I'm really proud of the work she's done so far, and this being her first ever comic book Geek History Lesson. So please send all good vibes and thoughts through the Speed Force to Meredith Harris for her hard work.
We should also send out, we should say that this Iris West episode had been planned for a long time.
We've moved it, I think, 6 times.
I think we've moved it as many times as that Flash movie has moved.
Yes, which would be exactly why we've moved it.
Yes.
But in fact, we should have just said, we'll do it when the Flash TV show ended, but we didn't.
But guess what? The Flash TV show literally just ended.
I know, actually it timed out kind of nice.
And the Flash movie is coming out. Is it crazy that, or excuse me, is it strange that we live in a universe where the very same year that the 9-year-long Flash television show debuted was the same year that the movie version of The Flash was announced to appear?
I'm going to tell you, Jason, it's not weird that both of those things are happening. It's not even weird that both of those things are happening quite close together.
Mm-hmm.
What is weird is that neither of them are starring Wally West.
Yes.
They're both starring Barry Allen, the boringest Flash of all time.
That's right. Wally is the...
I'm just lighting the Barry fans on fire.
Wally is the true Speed King.
Yeah. If you would have asked me when Justice League and Justice League Unlimited was airing, I would have been like, it will absolutely be a Wally West movie.
Yeah.
I'm truly baffled that both of these star Barry Allen.
Thanks, Flash Rebirth.
Yay.
Was this lesson suggested by anybody?
Not a human soul.
Great. Let's
requested
move.
This episode.
Then let's move into the 10-cent origin, where Ashley's going to give you the basic cliff notes and who's its and what's its of Iris West. I kind of sometimes want to call her Allen because I feel like that's part of Iris West Allen or whatever her name is. In case you ever go to a cocktail party in the middle of Central City and somebody's from Keystone City and they quite don't know who Iris is.
I'm going to say, for the sake of the 10-cent origin, we will call her Iris West Allen because at the time of this recording, that is her full name in comic book continuity and we defer to comic book continuity. But
we do
throughout the episode.
Right.
Typically we do.
Sure.
throughout the episode, I will probably refer to her as just Iris or Iris West, because honestly, it's going to save me some breath. But
yep.
We all know who we're talking about. Iris West Allen is a DC comic book character who was created by Robert Kaniger and Carmine Infantino, legendary creator. Her first appearance was in Showcase number 4 in October of 1956, in the very same issue as Barry Allen himself, in fact.
Just like Lois Lane.
Yes, I didn't realize this, and I actually think it's pretty cool that she's been around as long as Barry. So there. She is a reporter for the Central City Picture News, which is some real golden age nonsense, if I can offer a criticism.
Just like Lois Lane.
Famous for being the current wife of Barry Allen, the Flash, the aunt of Wally West, Kid Flash, but then also the Flash, and the grandma of Bart Allen, Impulse, then Kid Flash, then also the Flash. So she's touched a lot of Flashes,
but
and
not,
I will leave you with that verb choice.
But not in an inappropriate way.
Well, one of them. One of them's her husband.
Well, sure.
And she has notably been portrayed by Candace Patton in the Flash television show on the CW that Jason pointed out just wrapped up at the time of this recording, and is about to be portrayed by Kiersey Clemons in the Flash movie starring Michael Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your 10 cent origin on Iris West.
And I'm pretty certain that she also portrayed Iris West in the Justice League Zack Snyder cut.
Yes, that is true. It's the same actress, but because that technically didn't get a theatrical release,
sure,
we're gonna call the Flash movie, I consider the Flash movie to be her debut.
Got it.
Yeah, there we go. That's all I've got. Meet cute time, Jason. What's the meet cute?
That's where we talk about where we first meet or cuted these characters. So Ashley, where did you first meet Iris Allen, Iris West Allen?
We're actually going to give Meredith first, our research assistant.
Oh, okay.
So she said, I honestly don't even remember. I read a lot of Flash as a kid, and since Iris has been around as long as Barry, it's really hard to nail down exactly when Iris would have first popped up for me. So I think that that's fair, and I think that that is systemic of a lot of the supporting characters in comic books. Like if they're highly attached to a more prominent character profile, like any of the Robins, you're like, well, it's so tied to who this person is. So then mine is, I have really no memory of Iris. She didn't make all that much of an impression on me before she started appearing in the TV show. Thus, DC decided to up her visibility in the comics around like 2015 or so and give her like a real personality. Based on my reading interest, though, I probably would have seen her in the pages of the New Teen Titans when she was like Wally's older auntie. But I never really read Flash comics until I started reading them for this podcast. So I also, like Meredith, don't have a super, super clean memory of when I first met Iris West. So Jason, gonna make this a trifecta, or do you have a clear memory of your introduction to Iris West Allen?
No, I have a very clear memory because Iris Allen is the grandma, or I always called her the grandma of Wally West. And what I mean by that is because they're in the classic Mark Waid Wally West run before I started getting some of those issues before Impulse showed up.
Yeah.
And Impulse shows up around the same time that Iris has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody thinks that she's dead, but she is actually in the future. I assume, Ashley, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
And there is a big mystery that, you know, this, of course, in this time period, you know, Barry Allen has long been dead.
Mm-hmm.
And in that continuity, I want to believe that the reason why she went to the future is because she went to the future because Barry, because of the way the time stream works, like spent a bunch of time in the future. And so she went to the future so that she could spend time with Barry before his quote unquote death.
Mm-hmm.
And in that continuity, the idea is that she wrote a book about Barry Allen being the Flash. Mm-hmm. And it was like a big mystery that kept carrying through.
Was who wrote that book. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah. So when Bart shows up, she shows up as this like gray haired.
No, she's an old lady.
Gray haired lady.
Well, she's Bart's grandma, technically.
Yes, with Bart.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like it's weird to me to think about her as like the sexy young lead Flash or the sexy young Roman, because like to me I'm always like, yeah, she's the Flash's grandma basically, even though I know, look, she was Wally's aunt, but she showed up with gray hair and looked like a grandma.
No, it's the same way that I felt when Teddy Sears was playing Jay Garrick for a while. I was like, but Jay Garrick, an old man.
Yeah, he's an old man.
And you become really married, you know, and that's a great thing about adaptation, right? So you think you become married to these versions of the character, and then you can become challenged and your opinions can change. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. I really didn't think anyone was going to have like a clear memory. So I'm glad that you brought that up and that you shared that.
Well, I'm glad, because otherwise this meet cute would have been a big old nothing.
Well, we've had those before where we're just like, I don't even know where I first heard about Batman. But what can I tell you? But if you want to know more about like our personal relationships with these characters and more casual reminiscences about characters and pop culture and things like that, I would really, really encourage you, when you're done with this podcast, to go head over to patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. I can spell it, I promise you. We do a whole bunch of shows there behind the paywall that are like super fun, super casual, more yelling, more fun, more swearing back there, including my favorite podcast, Jason and Jeremy John, about Justice League, which, if I can tease, just recorded a bunch of episodes in person that are going to be coming out really soon that I'm psyched to hear. And I know everyone else is going to be psyched to hear. We have all kinds of back end look at our processes. We have access to our Discord, which is my favorite place on the internet. So if you like this pod, I think you're going to like us getting a little bit more personal over on Patreon. Please go join that. Become a super friend, because we want to welcome you into all the club, all the fun stuff that we have going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right, Jason, are you ready? Shall we do the thing?
Yes, let's do the thing. Oh boy. Let's get into the lesson here.
Yes.
Let's get into the main lesson here on Iris Allen.
Yes, so here.
What's her maiden name? West. That's
West.
Right. That was a dumb question. Why did I ask that?
Jason Inman. Someone is writing us a you know what? If you want to drag Jason for that, write us a 5-star review on
I don't
Apple
care.
Podcast.
I welcome it. I'll ignore it just the same.
We're on Twitter at GHL Podcast. Okay, so Iris West was born in the 30th century.
Are you sure that's her maiden name?
I'm 99. You know what? I'm sure Meredith is sure that this is her maiden
name. You got it. Okay.
I can fob that off as her responsibility.
It's not McGillicuddy?
You know, maybe in some continuities, right. maybe pre-crisis.
What do you mean she was born in the 30th century? What does that mean?
Iris West was born in the 30th century
mm-hmm.
to Eric and Fran Russell.
Okay.
And they sent her to the 20th century to escape a nuclear war, where she was adopted by Ira and Nadine West, and she became Iris West. She was never told that she was adopted, but always suspected.
Okay.
Because her curiosity came about and led her to constantly be digging for the truth. So she was always trying to find like the truth of her origin and the truth of how she were. And this is what ended up leading her to becoming a reporter.
Okay,
no, please go ahead.
I was going to say, this right here is the sound of a bunch of writers trying to bend over backwards to explain something that we didn't need to explain.
This is what I meant in the opening, where she technically time traveled before Barry Allen.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
As an infant. This is also the part of the podcast where I'm going to address something about Iris West as a character and her construction as a character.
Yes, let's hear it.
Jason Inman, in what issue did Superman and Lois Lane debut?
The same issue, Action Comics number 1.
Which was published in?
1938.
Iris West was created in 1956.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 20 years later.
Yeah, because Barry Allen didn't show up until the Silver Age.
That's right. Superman, really, really popular.
Mm-hmm.
Lois Lane, really, really popular.
She got her spinoff book.
She did.
Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane.
Fun fact, which has some of the best covers of all time, by the way. Even if you never read them, which you should.
Superman was so popular, they gave a spinoff title to his girlfriend and his best friend.
Yes. Yeah. And his younger self, eventually.
And his weirdo friend, Batman.
No, yes. They weren't connected. And his goth friend. Yeah, exactly. And then his goth friend's son.
Yep.
Okay, so fun fact, Iris West was basically created as a carbon copy of popular Superman character Lois Lane.
Shocker.
When she was first introduced. Iris is a smart reporter. Iris has dark hair. Mm. Iris lives in a big city. Iris is in love with a superhero. Iris, unlike OG Lois Lane, basically has no personality except to accidentally fall into danger when to show up on a cover every once in a while. So that Superman, the Flash. So that the Flash can rescue her.
She's the damsel in distress.
Yes. Yeah. So basically they decided we're going to do Lois Lane 2.0, which honestly is a fine thing to do.
It's actually not a bad character model to follow.
Steal ideas from your betters. In this case, they're stealing ideas from themselves. Yep. And because they were like, well, we got to make her a little bit different than Lois, I think this is where this 30th century origin story and her always being curious idea came from.
Well, you may not have the answer to this.
Yes.
But I'm going to say something that might break your entire lesson.
Okay.
Because this 30th century bullhickey sounds like a retcon to me.
Oh, it is.
I was going to say, I think that is 100% a retcon.
No, it is 100%. It is.
And I'm glad to know that my retcon meter, actually was right.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, they did not make her from the 30th century in the original.
In her original intro, she's just Lois Lane.
She's just reporter girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this retcon comes and to make her quote unquote slightly more interesting and slightly more different than Lois Lane. But Jason, you believe that Lois Lane is the most important character in the female DC female character in the DC universe.
100%.
And you said earlier that you thought it was smart for DC to basically copy a version of her into the Flash.
Sure.
Do you think it's a lazy choice?
I mean, it's lazy if you leave her that way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, no, I don't think it's a lazy choice. I mean, look, when Green Arrow was brought in, they did an Arrow Cave.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And he had a plan.
Which then saw in Arrow, the television show.
Yeah, but he was a copy of Batman.
Yeah.
He was a rich billionaire with a sidekick and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the exact same. They do it all the time. As long as you don't leave it that way for 50 years, I'm fine with it. I'm going to suspect they did leave her that way for quite a long time, which is why I have a feeling that we do not have any kind of like character basis for how Iris should act. Until very recently. Whereas like with Lois, you can track that all the way back to the 50s.
Yes.
Of like, oh, this is how Lois Lane acts. Like this is the general sense of how Lois should be. This is the general sense of how Jimmy should be. Like, but I hate to say it, but like I think for most characters that aren't basically the trifecta of comics, which I would say is Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, I kind of feel like almost every supporting character gets forgotten until basically like the 80s or 90s.
Now we're gonna do this throughout this episode, but I want to ask also, do you think it's even fair to compare Lois and Iris? Because like panel for panel, Lois probably has 100 times the stories that Iris has ever had.
It's not really that fair.
And
it's also not really that fair because there is like an inherent story reason for why Lois is with Superman.
Yeah. More so than Iris and Barry.
With Iris and Barry, their story reason is that they got the hots for each other.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, hey, baby. Oh, hey. But with like Superman, it's like literally the reason of like, oh, she's not afraid of him. Like she is not intimidated nor scared by the Man of Steel. And that's what attracts him to her.
Yeah. She's also smarter than him.
She's way smarter and a better writer.
Yeah.
And so he's really impressed by her.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think we have that with Iris and Barry. I think they dated and they're like, oh, look at you. Yeah.
She likes him despite him being boring. That's
we love each other.
That's her real superpower.
Oh, don't you like my bow tie, Iris?
I just wanted to have that discussion because, like I said, we are going to make comparisons between the characters. And they are very similar, so I thought it deserved to be discussed.
Sure.
Iris went on to attend Columbia University, a real place.
Yeah, good for her.
And then had an internship at the Daily Planet.
Oh, okay.
So her and Lois probably actually worked together.
Sure.
Were together in the
Guaranteed
building.
That's also a retcon as well.
At the same time. It was also literally one of the only newspapers that was named in the DC universe for a long time.
The
besides
Daily the, Star.
And the Gotham Gazette.
The Daily Star. It wasn't called the Daily Planet until the Superman radio show.
I mean, I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's not like there's a ton of other. So if they a newspaper reporter, she's going to go to the Daily Planet.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Post-college, she traveled the world pursuing a journalism career, which, again, is a very, like, Lois, also Lana Lang
and
thing,
Clark
thing
Kent
to do.
Journey.
Yes. Upon returning to Central City, which is famously the home of Barry Allen the Flash, she got a job at Picture News. And do you know what happens at Picture News, Jason?
They tell you the news with pictures.
No, she meets Barry Allen.
Oh, well, they don't tell you the news with pictures?
They do tell you the news.
Then they're liars.
With pictures. I just love the phrase picture news. I think it's so funny. It's so silver agey.
You want your news and you want your pictures. We got your pictures and your news right here.
And
picture
the same place.
News. We're the only newspaper that's got pictures. Pictures news.
I would love it if this was the only news outlet in all of the DC universe that had photographs. And it's working there that she meets Barry Allen, of course, who is a police scientist while reporting on a murder that he was investigating. Ooh, pretty dark, actually, for DC Comics at the time. They begin dating, and eventually Barry proposes while they're on a Ferris wheel ride at the Central City Amusement Park, because romance, baby. Now, I'm going to tell you who Iris almost married, because even though her and Barry do have a fairly straightforward, very classic romance, there was another suitor in her life. But I'm going to tell you right after this. Okay, GHL, we raced back here to talk more Flash Iris West Allen business. So, Jason, I would love to ask you, I teased before the break that I'm going to tell you who Iris almost married before she married Barry. Uh-huh. Do you have any guesses as to who it might be?
Clark Kent.
I wish.
I don't honestly know. How much of this Flash supporting cast would have been around at this point?
This is a pretty famous, well-known Flash character.
I mean, is it some version of Eobard Thawne?
It is Eobard Thawne, in fact.
You better explain who that is, that crafty devil.
Eobard Thawne is the Reverse Flash.
Yes, but he's also from the future.
He's also from the future. It's not.
That's why he has a dumb name like Eobard.
Yes, because it's supposed to be like an Edward of the future.
I actually don't mind that.
I don't either, because I think it's a fairly I actually think it's an intelligent extrapolation.
Yeah. It sounds goofy. That's why it pings your ear. But yes, I agree with that. I actually think that's a smart writing choice.
I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. So hats off. Yeah. So it's not that Iris like dated Eobard. It's not like an Iris and Eddie from Flash season one kind of moment. It's not that she really liked Eobard Thawne. It's not even that she knew who Eobard Thawne was.
No, she wouldn't have known at all.
What happened was he switched places with Barry Allen on their wedding day. But like, luckily, don't worry about it. Barry was able to stop the wedding It was literally just a switcheroo.
It was a sitcom switcheroo.
Yeah, it was like a one comic.
Oh, so she wasn't dating him at all.
No. So comics, baby. Right. This is comedy, yep. I guess. I don't know. Barry, despite being married, continued to hide the truth that he was secretly the Flash.
Are you kidding me? He hid it past his wedding day?
Past their wedding. He also lied to Iris by not telling her that her nephew Wally West was Kid Flash until their wedding night.
Wait, okay. So wait, I'm completely I'm lost now. So you're saying, if I'm understanding you right, are you saying that on their wedding night, this dick, Barry Allen, revealed the secret identity of his nephew, but did not reveal
himself on the same night?
Okay. I was like, what logic is it to be like, and Wally West is the Kid Flash? Well, who's the Flash? I don't know.
No, I mean, honestly, I wish. No, it was more like, I'm the Flash, and Iris is like, what? And then he's like, oh, and also, Wally is the Kid Flash.
Also, if you don't completely like this, we can still annul the marriage. It's been 24 hours.
Also, I can just run back in time and reset the universe.
Oh, boy.
So who knows?
What an idiot.
But no, Jason, it wasn't even that good, because he didn't sit her down like a respectful relationship and
like Clark did,
and tell her what was going on. Barry was talking in his sleep.
Oh my God. So he was just like, and I'm the Flash and Wally West is the Kid Flash and pork chops. And oh, I got to pick up some light bulbs. And oh no, Eobard Thawne, maybe he's back from the 25th century. Pancakes and all that kind of stuff.
It's not that different, actually. Mm-hmm. Yes. Then Iris, because Iris is like, oh, you're petty. I can be pettier. Iris doesn't tell Barry that she knows until their first wedding anniversary.
These two are toxic.
They are made for each other.
They are very
this
toxic.
This is their love story.
I'm actually starting to understand why the CW made a show about these two. This is very, they should not be together. They're terrible for each other.
And then Barry didn't tell Iris that he was the Flash until she was already pregnant with their children.
No. I'm sorry. What? Oh, you mean so he didn't officially admit it to
her?
Yes,
because on their wedding anniversary, their 1 year wedding anniversary, she was like, I know you're the Flash. And he was like, no, I'm not.
Oh, he still tried to lie.
Yes. And he didn't tell her until she was pregnant with her child.
She literally is like holding his suit. Yes. I saw it in the closet.
She's like, I don't know where that came from. I'm a drag queen.
Costume party, question baby. Costume party.
I have no answers. And his excuse was that he didn't know if he was even human anymore after the accident. So he didn't know if they'd be able to procreate. So he didn't want to put that burden on her while they were trying to have children.
This guy's a dick.
Yeah, I hate it, actually.
This guy's a dick. I don't like him.
And shout out to Meredith, who left this note, all in caps, be honest with your wife either way, Barry.
Be honest with your wife either way.
So I just want to point out that in this way, Barry and Iris are very different than Lois and Clark.
Yes.
Because Lois and Clark have a very open and honest conversation about their future and their races together, their species. And Barry and Iris just kind of like keep picking anything. Pick, 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 pick.
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
So I'm glad that a lot of this gets hand waved away every time there's a retcon.
Well, Clark told Lois before he proposed.
Yeah.
Well, he started to propose, but he was like, before you answer, I'm going to tell you that I'm Superman. And then she like took 24 hours to kind of process that. And then she told him yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is like Barry Allen. This guy does not have good coping mechanisms.
No, he doesn't. He really, really doesn't. So,
and before you're all shouting at me, you're like, well, yeah, his mom was killed in front of him and his dad was taken to prison. That was also a retcon. So at this time in comic books history, that did not exist in Barry Allen's lexicon. That didn't exist until 2008.
Yeah.
Barry was just kind of a lame superhero guy. That's who he was.
Yeah.
His mom and dad were fine. In fact, they were in stories.
Yes, they were. Although Iris and Barry had a seemingly happy marriage, it was a happy marriage from the outside. Sure. Seemed very much in love. They were posted on their Instagram all the time.
There's no Instagram yet. We're in like the 60s.
I know, but I'm just making a joke.
All right. They would have been. You know what they would have been doing?
Sharing their pictures in the social pages.
No. Ooh, that's a good one.
Talking on the party line.
No, they would have been dedicating songs to each other on the radio.
Oh my God.
So it'd have been like,
I've never done that.
Yeah. It'd have been like WKR 559. Barry would like to give his sweet baby Iris some sweet, sweet love. And here's I Need Your Lovin' by The Temptations. I need your love.
He says, I'm sorry I'm always late, baby.
Yeah. Iris is coming back with a special message for Barry Allen over there in Keystone City saying, don't forget milk on your way home and don't you dare be late tonight. All right.
Central City, they don't live in Keystone. Wally lives in Keystone.
No, Wally lives in Central. And They live in Central because Keystone is the golden age.
Oh,
city.
That's where
Central is the Silver Age.
Why
and beyond.
Do you think Wally left in Keystone? Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
But then eventually they do this thing where they're
twin cities.
Yes, even though in my head canon, it's Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah. So though Barry and Iris were going to say happily married.
Sure.
For several years, Eobard Thawne, her almost secret husband, hadn't gotten over losing Iris, and he'd been in love with her the whole time.
Well, I touched her hand just one time, and I got to tell you,
they touched the backs of their hands, probably brushed each other.
It was like silky smooth, and just for a quick second there, I was like, what a wedding night this could be. And then, you know, Barry had to show back up again.
So if you think Barry has bad coping mechanisms, let me tell you what Eobard does.
Oh, I'm just schizophrenic, straight up.
Yeah. but like comic book schizophrenic, so it just means like a general chaos monster, actually schizophrenic.
I will sneak into bassinets and snap babies' necks. I'll do that.
You're not that far off, actually. At one point, he goes to their house and tells Iris that she either needs to leave Barry for him or die.
There was a quick second there where I thought the end of your sentence was going to be, one time he went to Barry at Iris's house and told Iris that she needed to lose weight. And I was like, that's cruel. that's villainous.
And using a 25th century hypnotic device, because comics, he wipes her memory of the visit and just kind of like leaves the choice in her subconscious, hoping she'll figure it out.
So she has this like unconscious thing of like, so somebody's going
to
kill me.
Barry, or I'll die.
I don't remember why.
Yeah.
I guess I'll stay.
Yeah, basically. And then the following night, they go to a costume party and Thawne shows up and asks her to dance. And she obviously doesn't remember him, but it's like floating around her subconscious. So she promptly rejects Eobard Thawne, saying that she wouldn't want to be with him, even if she wasn't so in love with Barry.
Oh, of course. His bow ties and him constantly being late.
And then Eobard Thawne, in a totally level-headed and rational move, vibrates his hand through her head and kills her.
Ah!
Like Cisco Ramon.
explodes. Explodes her head at this party?
No, it doesn't explode. Yeah, this is so it's great. Just the hand in the forehead.
It's funny now.
It's really dark, though.
Now that you bring this up, I remember this.
Yeah, this moment's actually fairly memeified online.
Yes, I remember this. And I remember this being like, in characters in the 90s in DC Comics would talk about this.
Yes. Yeah. So Iris is actually dead.
She's dead
for a while in comic book history. Yeah. How many issues do you think she's dead for?
Ooh.
It's a number between 1 and 100.
Okay, because I was like, are you counting other series and stuff like that?
No, just in The Flash.
Oh man, I don't know. What time period are we in? Are we in the 70s
Late 70s.
How many issues is she dead? Okay, so I want to say 50, but since this is the 70s, my gut wants to say like one. So I'm going to split the difference and I'm going to say 17.
Your first guess was pretty close.
One?
Yeah, no, 50.
Oh, 50. Okay.
She's dead for 75 issues.
Oh, that's a good run.
So she died from, she died in issue 275 of The Flash and came back in 350.
So she's dead.
Which was the final issue of Flesh.
So she's dead for about 5 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is real world history.
Not bad.
Pretty good chunk of time.
This is when her biological parents from the future.
Oh boy.
They travel back in time to draw her life force back to the 30th century, give her a new body, and reunite her with Barry. So technically, this isn't even the same Iris West.
No, it's a clone body Iris West.
Yeah. It's like Swan Song, it's an Iris West.
It's an Iris Golem.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Or if you want to get Star Trek-y about it, it's like, what happens when you come out of the transporter machine?
Yeah.
Are you a clone? You're
every time you go through that transporter, you die.
And
Standing right here.
If you remember me seeding this a few points back, Barry and Iris stay in the 30th century together, and she gives birth to their children.
Okay, but how does Barry find out that she's in the 30th century? How does that ever happen? Did he just like, oh, you're there, honey?
Basically her parents go and get him, her like 30th century parents, and they bring her.
So 75 issues later,
yeah.
He gets to go. Oh, okay. So I think I know what event is next now.
Okay.
If I'm correct, can I make a stab at this?
Sure.
I think what you're going to tell me is that the next event is Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Because
I want to talk about the twins really quickly and then we'll get to Crisis.
Okay, please explain the twins. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So basically when Iris died, she was pregnant.
Yep.
They resurrect her in a body. She's somehow also pregnant.
And they resurrect her ghost babies too.
This body. Yeah, it's very Scarlet Witch.
It's WandaVision before WandaVision. Got it.
And Iris gives birth to twins who are eventually called the Tornado Twins, Dawn and Dawn, D-O-N and D-A-W-N.
Stupid.
Honestly, the less said about them, the better. Yep. They've been revived in recent comics, but I just wanted to, I know the Tornado Twins are a thing that people know about Iris and Barry, so I just wanted, this is when they are born. And then what happens, Jason? Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Well, D-A-W-N gives birth to Bart Allen.
No, we're not. This is not the Bart Allen episode.
Oh, well, yes. So Crisis on Infinite Earths happens because the Anti-Monitor, who is this giant guy who loves DE universes, has said, there are too many universes. There's too many multiverses. Like, it's very unlike today.
Yeah.
Where there's so many multiverses and there's so many movies about multiverses. See, if the Anti-Monitor comes back, he's going to do the same thing he did in 1985.
Do you think he's going to eat the Spider-Verse?
100%. It's the tastiest of the verses.
Wow.
Yeah. So much spider webs taste good.
I would love to see Miles fight the Anti-Monitor. I'm not going to lie.
So the Anti-Monitor decided to destroy the multiverse and only left one Earth at the time. Now, I know Barry Allen was in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And because he said that he came back from the future
specifically to
fight the Anti-Monitor.
Yeah. To go back to the twins one more time. This is one thing that Iris actually beats Lois to. She has children in main canon continuity before Lois Lane does.
But I'm going to tell you that I think the only reason they let Iris Allen have kids,
it's because they knew they were going to nerf Barry.
Because they knew they were going to kill Barry literally in the next year.
Yeah, and then this also gave them a chance if they wanted to include Flash characters with either the Legion, or if they didn't want to make Wally Flash, they had two more options that they could just like time travel, bring back from the future.
So are we ready to the Flash dies?
Yes.
The Flash dies in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
It's the best, the most important thing he's ever done.
By basically cracking, he breaks the Anti-Monitor's body in half. Now, Marv Wolfman, the writer of this series, because Barry hops through time throughout the series, he always said that he looked at that as like, he's like, that's the easiest way to bring Barry back. Barry is always running through the time stream, and Barry makes lots of cameos, but Barry is technically dead. And now Wally West, Kid Flash, is going to take up the mantle of the Flash. And it actually takes 30 years for them to resurrect him.
Well, I'm gonna say this
officially.
We're about to make a pretty gigantic jump in time because, yeah, Iris like is referenced and kind of appears
23 years, actually, my bad.
There
23
you go.
Years.
In Teen Titans mm-hmm. because of Wally, and she's referenced, of course, in the Flash. And like
she's in Wally's run a lot.
She kind of appears here and there, but like the next thing that she does that's super important, that's not just kind of her showing up to like give Wally advice vaguely, is Bart Allen.
Is
stuff.
All the Impulse stuff.
Yeah. So we get again, like as you say, almost 30 years of comic book history before she kind of appears again.
Well, not even though. No. Not the Impulse stuff happens at least like 10 years later.
Oh, okay. Why did I think it was more than that?
No, what I was specifically referencing was the return of Barry Allen.
Oh, you're right.
Barry
and I got
Allen,
the years mixed
Barry
up.
Allen yep. gets resurrected in like 2008.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like 23 years. So Barry Allen is officially dead.
Yes.
For 23 years.
Yes.
Wally West is the Flash for 23 years.
Which is
years.
Why there are generations of people like myself yeah. and yourself who are like, Wally West is the Flash.
It's the reason why Wally West was the Flash
in the
Just League, the animated
yeah.
series.
Yeah.
Yes. And the next time she shows is like 10 years later. And again, she's an old lady when she shows up.
Yeah. But right. also, you know, I try really hard when we do research on supporting characters to like pick out one weird adventure or one interesting moment that they had. But like Iris literally
has too many.
Doesn't have any, like they're all like, she's literally just a plot device when somebody needs to explain something kind of Speed Force-y or they need a maternal figure to show up and speak. Like she yeah. kind of does that for Wally a lot.
Sure.
But in terms of like story for me to tell you about, there's nothing until Impulse comes into the picture.
Let's get to Impulse.
So
then.
Let's get to Impulse, the greatest speedster in the DC universe.
So Barry has been dead for a while. Yeah. Everybody thinks Iris is dead.
Yes.
And Wally is the Flash.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Bart Allen, Iris's grandson, is aging rapidly because he's locked in super speed. So, Iris takes Bart Allen by the little baby hand and they go back in time to the 20th century so that Bart can get help from Wally. So, we talked about this in our Bart Allen lesson. When Bart shows up in the Impulse series and becomes part of the Flash family, he does appear to be like 9 to 12 years old, kind of like a classic like Robin era age.
But I was going to say he appears 13.
But he's actually like 3. He's only
mentally.
Been around for 3 years old. He has
physically,
emotional intelligence
he looks like 13
of and, a
yeah,
toddler.
Yeah.
But sort of that ambiguous like preteen, early teenage he's, eras of a lot of teen sidekicks.
So he's a reverse Benjamin Button.
Yes. I've that never seen Benjamin
fastly.
Button and
yeah.
I always have to
Benjamin Button he starts old and comes young.
That is what happened. Mm-hmm. So Iris also has a moment where she's like, I don't want to look after Bart Allen, so she dumps him off with Jason's favorite speedster of all time,
Wally West,
Max Mercury.
Oh yeah, that's right.
To raise him and like treat the kids right, and then it's later retcon that he goes and lives with Jake Garrick. So like
for a bit.
Your mileage may vary on who he's actually yep. raised by. That's fine. She also is involved in the Savitar storyline,
mm-hmm.
which I normally wouldn't bring up Savitar, but it is kind of a touchstone to the show. So I thought I would tell sure. you how she's involved in the Savitar storyline. So there's another speedster named Johnny Quick.
Mm-hmm.
All you need to know is he's another
he's
speedster.
A golden age speedster, yeah. like kind of like Jay Garrick, but he would say a mathematical formula and that would give him powers.
Yeah. So
doesn't make any sense.
Iris, because she's smart and curious and was once a reporter, knows, and she's from the future mostly, knows that Savitar is coming. And so she tries to warn Johnny Quick that he's about to have a conflict with Savitar. And Savitar is the self-declared god of speed. And you learn over the course of the storyline whether or not he is the god of speed or not. But she's really nervous about changing the future by sharing too much vital information about the present. And when Johnny Quick is like, well, can you give me like any context? Can you tell me who or why or what I should do? She doesn't go into any detail on how to defeat him. She's basically like, you have to defeat this bad guy named Savitar who's going to show up and fight you.
And you're like, why? And she's like, reasons.
Yes, exactly. She is then very quickly after this kidnapped by Abracadabra and Polaris, DC Comics villains. That's mm-hmm. all you really need to know. And is forced to write down everything she knew about the future so they could create, quote, a roadmap to tomorrow. I actually think if you're going to have a character do this amount of like time traveling nonsense, this is like not a bad story to tell.
Well, Abracadabra also is a Flash villain who's from the future pretending to be a magician with powers when he's actually using future technology.
Who appears in the Flash television show played by
David Asmalchin.
That's right. Yep. After this, Iris disappears.
Again.
Goes back to the future to write her book. Mm-hmm. Jason, do you know the name of Iris's book?
Is it The Life and Times of Barry Allen?
Oh, you're so close. It's The Life Story of the Flash.
Oh, okay. I knew it was something like that. I couldn't remember if it had Barry Allen in it or The Flash.
I could tell that The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck is living rent-free in your brain right now.
I knew it was something like that.
Yes. So while she's visiting the future writing her book, she learns that Bart, who was the full Flash at the time, had died. Mm-hmm. Very, very sad. And hoping to go back in time and prevent this, which is like any Flash character's number one MO.
We have to make it clear. We jumped ahead in several years now again.
Yes.
And Bart Allen has grown up and now he is the Flash because Wally West at this time is considered to be dead.
Yes.
Iris is going back to prevent that. That didn't just happen the next day after.
I said that she went away for some time.
I just want to make sure. So. We were literally just saying he was 13, so now he's an adult.
Yeah, he's like maybe 18. So she wants to prevent her grandson from dying. She finds out that Zoom, Flash villain, is in ancient Rome. So she hires him to help her save Bart.
Hires who?
Zoom.
Okay.
And despite her best efforts to save him, including hiring Zoom in ancient Rome, Bart's death is inevitable. So this is like a Doctor Who version of a fixed point in time. Mm-hmm. It's something that until the editors at DC Comics decided a few years ago, you can't change, you can't undo. Mm-hmm. And much like Barry, Bart has to sacrifice himself for the larger good of the DC universe.
Mm-hmm. And then you eventually learn that wasn't even Bart. Which is weird.
Yeah, like it's really hard because the Bart important to Iris, but it is like really hard to sort of skirt around because it's really complicated.
Listeners, check out our Bart Allen episode. If you want to know more, you can Google it yourself. But if we jump down that insane quagmire, we'll never end this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It still doesn't make any sense.
So I want to ask you, we've talked a little bit about Iris being involved in time travel and what she got up to while Barry Allen was away. I would love to know, do you think since Barry Allen disappeared for all this time, should Iris West have disappeared with him?
Yep.
Should we have, so we don't think we should have had ongoing adventures with her, have her cameo appearances?
No,
like this.
Because you're just muddying the waters.
Yeah.
If Wally West is your Flash.
Yeah.
You know, then we shouldn't have Grandma Aunt Flash around.
Yeah.
Or if we are, then she needs to be a permanent character. She needs to be like his Perry White. But you can't keep being this thing of like, I'm going to go to the future, even though I know every single thing that's going to happen to your life and every single villain that's ever going to attack you. And exactly, literally, I could look up and Google the exact second of your death, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to go to vacation. Bye. Because if you actually loved somebody and she loves Wally.
Yes.
Wally is basically her son.
Yeah. Before she has a son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before she has a son. If she has that easy access to the future, she would tell him everything.
Yeah.
Especially since he's like a firefighter. His job is so dangerous.
Yeah.
So if she was going to go to the future, gone forever.
Yeah.
If she's going to stay in the present, then yeah, make her a character in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But to make her like this weird, this is the part of Iris Allen that I really don't like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this weird of like, oh, she's in the future with the Legion of Superheroes. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, but we're going to get into even more large-scale DC Comics crossover nonsense when we come right back because we're going to talk all about Barry Allen and Final Crisis. We are back on Geek History Lesson talking Iris West Allen. Jason, we've made it all the way to Final Crisis.
Another big time jump.
What is Final Crisis?
It is Darkseid invades the Earth and he wins.
There you go. This is another big time jump, as you pointed out, because
not that big. It's maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 or 4 years. It's a chunk. It's a couple years down the road. Yeah,
it is because she's just kind of doing exactly what we were talking about before it breaks. So
and suddenly she got rid of her gray hair, too.
Yeah, this is when we get like young, hot Iris reemerges. Yep. So when Jay Garrick Another Flash, another species of the Golden Age Flash.
Well, Jay Garrick is the original Flash.
Yes.
Yes.
And Wally West were looking into, they were investigating the death of Orion.
Because at this point, Wally West was back from the dead.
Yeah, the Flash has just come back.
Yep.
They discovered the Morbius chair, which was used by Metron. Jason, the Mobius chair.
The Mobius chair.
Not the Morbius chair. I'm sorry. Jason, really quick, what does the Mobius chair allow you to do?
I don't know that answer.
Oh, well, it allows you to make wishes.
Not really.
Well, you can use it to like fulfill your goals and dreams and stuff.
No, that's not how the Mobius chair works.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I believe you are conflating two items from Final Crisis here. The Mobius chair is just the floaty chair that Metron flies, or it's the big green chair. And we can do one of these. Action figure spotlight. I have a Mobius chair with Metron in it. It was a very old action figure.
Yeah.
The Mobius chair is just a thing that allows you to access different dimensions of the multiverse and float around. It's an amazing computer. And it does have like this knowledge of the entire all of existence. You might be thinking about the Miracle Machine, which is the wishing machine.
I am. You're right.
Yeah.
I am.
I think you just got them flipped. They're both M's.
I did. You're right.
Yeah.
But also, so the Mobius chair basically like, Wally sits in it,
yeah,
and it then turns into a boom tube,
mm-hmm.
and Barry Allen comes flying out of it,
yeah,
and that's how Barry Allen. That's why, because I always thought he sat in the chair and was like, "Bring me back, Barry Allen,"
and then
how he came back. You're right, my mistake. Was my mistake, not Jason's, not Meredith's. Was my mistake.
I could be remembering this wrong.
Yeah,
it's been a while since I've read Final Crisis, but I want to say that it's because of what they did in the chair, which is what. So Barry was just running through the time stream.
Yeah, just like, I'm lost in here forever.
And then he saw some bing, 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 bing. And that was the thing that they did.
Yes.
And then he like turned left, or he leaned left and, you know.
Like a big traffic light drops out of the sky with a little green arrow pointing in the right way.
They kind of do, and they explain this in Flash Rebirth, which I don't know if we're going to get into. I assume
not in a ton of depth.
But yeah, it's sort of the idea, like I talked about, like Marv Wolfman kind of just decided that he was like, hey, Barry is like always running the time stream.
Yeah.
So he just has to come out of the time stream at any point.
But I just like, okay, let me finish explaining this.
Complicated.
Yes.
Because we need to get to Iris.
DC cosmic nonsense is hard to explain. So Barry's back, baby. He should have stayed dead.
Back, Barry, back.
It's not my story.
Yeah, he should
have. It's not Meredith's story. It's not Jason's story. We can't fix this for you. I'm sorry.
He should have stayed dead.
Barry's like, well, I guess I should go home. My home is Iris's home. I'm going to go to Iris's house.
Okay.
But you know what? It's kind of bad at Iris's house at the time.
Why?
Because she's enslaved by the anti-life equation.
That old thing.
Yeah. But it's okay because Barry kisses her and briefly envelops her in the Speed Force, and it undoes all of that cosmic nonsense that I don't really want to explain.
Yeah.
So it's all okay. But he doesn't stay and have a nice time with his wife. He just kisses her, frees her, and immediately leaves Wally to go fight Darkseid. And Iris and Barry are finally able to reunite in the aftermath of Final Crisis.
Yeah, they beat Darkseid, and then now Barry's alive again.
And now they're young.
Yeah.
They're young and hot.
And Iris somehow de-aged.
Yeah. Well, I guess when he kissed her, and we're going to say the Speed Force brought them back to the last time they were together when they were maybe 35?
I don't know, because here's the real question. Why Iris popping back and forth to the future all this time, why was she in 2008?
Yeah.
Sitting around.
Just waiting for Barry to show back up, you know?
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knew he was coming back right at the single moment.
And with the return of Barry and with a book for him to star in, Iris also is like, you know what? It's time for me to go back to work. I haven't worked since 1985. So she becomes a reporter again.
She's like, what is this item? And they're like, it's a pen, Iris. Ah, what is this? That's paper. What is this? It's a computer. Oh, you mean it's not a multiplexal interdimensional interface?
Yeah.
Somebody called the men in the long coats. Let's get Iris out of here.
So all I'm saying, though, is like, what was she doing in the meantime in these like 30 years or 25 years? I'll tell you who could have found out. Ace reporter Lois Lane.
Well, maybe Lois Lane did. I have a feeling that Lois Lane might have figured out that. No, this is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
This is what Iris did.
Okay.
Actually, here's the real conspiracy.
Okay.
Iris West is responsible for ChatGPT.
Oh my gosh.
She knew it was coming.
And did nothing to stop it.
No, she engineered its creation earlier than it should have been, before we were ready for it, and then had this AI computer write all her stories. Because she hasn't worked in 30 years. She doesn't know how to type anymore, nor put sentences together. So she made a machine to do it from the future. And that is going to lead to chat crisis.
Chat crisis.
Yes. Have you ever wanted to read a DC storyline where all your DC superheroes fight word balloons? Chat crisis is for you.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
So much lettering. The letterers are going to, their hands are going to fall off.
Honestly, I hope they get a higher paycheck. A good letter is worth the weight in gold.
That's right.
So this leads directly into the new 52.
It leads into chat crisis. We just talked about this.
Into the new 52 continuity where Barry's a Flash again, inexplicably. We got a retcon.
We should talk about this because, so this is all led off by Flashpoint, where Barry Allen, Iris's boo, runs back in time because he decides that he wants to be with his mommy again.
Not his wife, his
and,
mom.
Yep. And he resets the timeline again. And because of that, it resets the timeline, makes everybody in the DC universe younger and in their like 20s and 30s.
Sexier, yeah.
It officially says goodbye to Grandma Iris.
Yeah.
And now Barry is full on the Flash again. Even though we just brought him back, we redid this again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very confusing.
Yeah. So in the new 52, Iris isn't from the 30th century.
Thank God.
She is retconned to be the daughter of William West and an unnamed mother. Mm-hmm. So for all your Joe West stans, that character doesn't exist yet.
Joe West is a creation of the television show.
I know. But I just think that's interesting because I think a lot of people assume that Joe West is her father.
Joe West, I think, was one of the things that the CW television show did right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a brilliant piece of writing.
Shout out to Jessie L. Martin. Mm-hmm. Her mother died during childbirth, so DC couldn't bother giving her a name, when she was delivering Iris's younger brother, Daniel, resulting in William resenting his son and becoming an abusive alcoholic. Now, Jason, I have to ask, is it really disrespectful that Barry Allen tried to save his own mom, but not Iris's mom when he ran back in time?
A little bit.
Eventually, Daniel pushed their father down the stairs and then ran away, leaving Iris alone to take care of her now paralyzed father.
Yay!
She also goes on to become a reporter, where she has multiple run-ins with Barry Allen, both due to his career as a forensic scientist for the Central City PD and due to his being the Flash, who Iris has been working on an expose about, because again, she's basically just Lois Lane.
Got it.
It is through Iris's influence during their relationship that Barry would decide to make the Flash more of a public figure and to become a symbol of Central City. So going full Superman with his secret identity. When Iris tracks down a criminal named Clive Yorkin and publicly confronts him, she's rescued by the Flash, who gets shot in the process. So Iris actually gets Barry hurt when he's trying to rescue her.
Thanks, Iris.
Iris and Barry's relationship strains even further when Barry's obsession with solving his mother's murder worsens. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what happens, even though Barry knows what happens, he's always like, I gotta save my mom.
Barry's a mama's boy. We know this. He's like, what about my mom? Iris? What about my mom? Barry, we talk about this every night. I know Iris, but what about my mom?
Iris is kidnapped by the Turtle and the Turtle. Yes, both the past and future versions of the Turtle.
Hooray!
Teaming up. The boringest Flash villain of all time.
Turtle squared.
Yep. When the Flash confronts the Turtles, Iris is able to help free the rest of the city, who collectively rise up against the Turtles' henchmen. The Turtle is basically the anti-Flash.
The simplest solution of this when you're fighting the Turtles is just to
kick them in the head?
Just to give them pizza.
Give them pizza. That's good. That's very good. Yeah, I was like, give them lettuce?
No, give them pizza.
When Iris introduces her nephews, Wally and Wallace, because comics. So she's introducing.
You better dive into that a little bit. Sorry. It's too complicated just to throw out there and not even talk about it.
So in the new 52, I didn't want to.
You can see all the sign because this is like maybe the clunkiest thing they ever did.
I didn't want to unpack this as a white host.
We have to unpack this.
In the new 52 continuity timeline, this is where we introduce Iris as a Black character and Wallace as a Black character because they are based on the portrayals of the characters on the Flash television show. Mm-hmm. So DC decided to change the comics to reflect the actors. That's all this was.
Yep.
But then because comics, we reintroduce red-haired freckled.
A couple years down the road.
Wally West.
The one from the 90s.
And Wally, White Wally and Black Wallace both have Speed Force powers.
So we get into this weird place where.
I'm sorry.
No, and
so silly.
The update of making Wally Black, not a bad update.
No, I had issues with the way it was handled in the writing, but. Making them black is
And he
no
had
big
a
deal.
Really awesome looking costume.
He had a great haircut.
He got really popular.
The lightning bolt.
But then, like, because we have to kill every Flash, yet bring them all back.
We can't leave well enough alone.
So we had to bring back White Wally West. Yeah. And then now it's the idea that, like, oh, she has two nephews that are both named Wally.
Well, yeah. And
what?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And are different races.
Yeah.
So she's introducing Wally and Wallace, her two nephews, to each other because comics.
Yeah.
And then this is the day in modern continuity when White Wally gets struck by lightning like Barry Allen because he's hanging out with Barry Allen and he becomes Kid Flash. So, Central City is attacked by Captain Cold also on this same day. So it's really lucky that Iris and three other civilians also get thrown into the Speed Force.
Sure.
Because it's not enough that we have three Flashes in Central City. We might need some more. This definitely doesn't tie into the fact that this was around the same time that Iris got speed powers in the Flash television show. They stay inside the Speed Force for months and months and months. They're presumed dead, which happens to pretty much every speedster in the history of the Flash, before Barry Allen finds them and sets them free. Reverse Flash shows up again and begins killing anyone who has been, quote, touched by the Speed Force. So any of these civilians, Iris, the Kid Flashes, he's on a rampage to get all of them because he's the Reverse Flash. That's what he does. And Iris and Barry are afraid that they're going to be the only two left, the only two who will survive because they're the title characters of the book.
Of
so
course.
They're not going to be killed. Barry, as the Flash, gives Iris an outfit similar to his costume that would make her undetectable to the Reverse Flash. That's what they decide.
That's the story reason.
I don't really understand.
It's like unstable molecules. It's something. It's like there's a thing in the jacket that won't let him see you.
Yes, exactly. I would also like to point out that Lois Lane did it first and first appeared as Superwoman, as well as Superwoman's first appearance in DC Comics in Action Comics number 60 in May of 1943.
Number 60, yeah. Iris. Boom.
Take that. Less than 10 years old, baby.
That's right. If you came listening to this podcast hoping that we were Iris Allen fans, well, you got another thing coming.
Yeah. So.
I'm on Eobard's.
Then
Eobard was right.
No.
Eobard was right.
This Reverse Flash isn't even Eobard.
Oh, dear
It's
God.
Then revealed
oh,
that he's
Daniel.
Actually her estranged brother, Daniel, who was planning on killing their father that he paralyzed.
No, this is the Flash. He has like black, he's like a red face and he has black armor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's cool armor, I have to say.
It's a cool design.
The Flash suits always look cool, but Iris.
So we had to introduce another reverse Flash.
Yeah. Okay. And Iris begs Barry not to hurt him because he's her brother. Mm-hmm. She condemns her brother for his actions. And when he continues to defend himself for killing people, Iris turns her back on him for good and is like, I can't deal with you. I haven't dealt with you my whole life. I'm not doing it now.
I turn my back on thee.
Yes. When she gets a glimpse of her life pre-Flashpoint, because there's a moment right before DC Rebirth where basically certain characters, as the editor saw fit, got to see certain parts of pre-Flashpoint life. So because she's touched the Speed Force, Iris is able to get a memory of herself married to Barry with their kids, Dawn and Dawn, from the 30th century.
All right.
And this is how she learns that he's the Flash. She didn't know that the Flash and Barry were the same person up to this point in this continuity.
So every version of her learning his identity is...
He didn't tell her.
...is goofy.
Yeah.
Got it.
She goes on to distrust Barry, realizing that he is indirectly responsible for altering time in the first place and for keeping this secret from her.
I mean, I'd be mad about that.
I'd be livid.
Yeah.
She does eventually forgive him, though.
Of course.
And curious about the Flash and the other secrets that Barry is keeping from her, she does stay in the relationship, but she becomes more suspect of his actions.
Oh, I see.
And then Flash goes on to reintroduce pre-Flashpoint Wally West. And when this version of Iris meets him, she immediately regains her memory of him because she touched the Flash the Speed Force.
Yes, this
at
is
one
combined
point.
To the stuff that we'd already talked about.
So that's where
there's not two white Wally West now.
Yes. Okay. So that is your Iris West history.
Oh boy,
that
was something.
Yeah, it was. Honestly, I thought teaching this lesson, I knew it was going to be a little bit like we're talking about this chunk of time and then we're jumping 10 years. We're talking about this chunk of time and then we're jumping 20 years because she's a supporting character. Yeah. I did not know that even being a supporting character in The Flash was going to be this confusing.
Yeah, because everything about The Flash is confusing.
Really, really confusing.
But also it just goes to show you that kind of, to be honest with you, it really feels like nobody has done anything with Iris.
No.
Like nobody.
No.
And to be honest with you, The Flash television show is probably her best representation.
The Flash television show single-handedly has won the most consistent characterization on this character, where she doesn't vary wildly from plot to plot as is demanded of her. She is driven and actionable as a reporter. Mm-hmm. She is driven and actionable as a super. I actually really liked the arc of the television show where she got superpowers.
I didn't, but sure. I like the arc of the television show when she became a great reporter and writer.
Yes. I mean, that's the best part. Mm-hmm. They let her step out of Barry's shadow more than in any other form. And I really hope, because we're in such a Flash moment right now, I really hope that she's given a little more autonomy, because I think like Linda Park and some Wally girlfriends actually have more consistent characterizations and point of view than Iris West. And for a character as old as she is, it's kind of sad.
I'm going to throw this out there. Linda Park is a million times better than any Iris Allen story.
I 100% agree. Yeah. And honestly, I hope we see her in a great adaptation, so we get a chance to talk about her on the pod, or you can request it at GHL Podcast.
Yeah, you'll be waiting a while.
Yeah, but you can request it.
Sure.
Maybe it'll be interesting if everyone requests Linda and nobody requested Iris.
Let's go into our recommended reading.
Yeah, Jason, what's that?
You go to GHL, geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading, and you can find a full list of every single book that we've ever suggested and all of our 450-ish episodes. You click on a link, take you right to pick up the book, and a little bit of that comes back to support the podcast.
Yeah. So I am going to recommend, the first one is a digital recommendation, unless you have a lot of money to spend. Showcase number 4, that is the first ever appearance of Iris West Allen, which is very cool.
I mean, if you got like 20 grand to plop down, then yeah, it's a great issue to go buy.
Also, if you have 20 grand to plop down, like send us an email, geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. I got some other pitches for you.
Okay. All right.
All those angel investors that are listening to this podcast.
Don't turn our show into Shark Tank, please.
I'm also going to recommend that you check out Flash Volume 1, number 275, which is the one where her literal death at the hand of Eobard Thawne. Like, just read it for the audacity of doing that at that time period.
Which might be her coolest story.
It is pretty cool, I have to say. The Flash, The Fastest Man Alive, it's a 13-issue series. This is the arc where she basically hires Zoom to attack Bart Allen the Flash to try to prevent his death. Mm-hmm. This is her taking action into her own hands. This is older Iris. This is old lady Iris. The Flash Volume 4 Reverse, which is the new 52 Volume 4, which is the storyline with the Daniel West version of the Reverse Flash. It's kind of the most interesting thing that she gets up to, in my opinion, during the new 52 era. And then I'm going to tack on the Flash Year 1, which is when current continuity Iris and Barry first started their relationship. When Barry gets his powers, Iris is taken hostage by the Turtles. And you kind of get the most complete look at who they are in current comic continuity, I think, from this volume. So There's 5 recommendations for you, my friends.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Shall we roll into the honor roll?
Sure. That's where if you go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, or Spotify Podcasts, we'll read your review on the air.
Okay. And we have 2 friends joining the honor roll today. First is from Brajan the Gaijin, or Brygen the Gaijin? I don't know. I did my best, Fred, who says, updated, great podcast. With a few more listens as well as re-listens, I have realized that any of my previous critiques were unfounded. So I wanted to undo my previous review with a more educated opinion. Truth be told, this is one of the best places to get information on everything geek culture in an extremely entertaining package. Even when I think that I know everything there is about one of their subjects, I still come out learning something new after listening in. Jason and Ashley have a blast talking about La Vida Nerdy, and you can really tell. Take a dive in and you won't regret it. So I want to say thank you, Brajan the Gaijin. Thank you for writing us another review. I did read your first one. This one is much nicer.
Oh, yeah?
And I say this because I'm not I'm being silly, but I'm also not trying to shame people. Like, your opinions can change.
I don't care.
On anything. And I really appreciate you coming back and like being honest. And I'm glad that we were able to find an equilibrium as your podcast friend. So thank you for that. We love growth and change, especially when it's nice. And then also joining us in the Teacher's Lounge today is To The Matt Cave, who says, I am Groot. I am Groot. And as Polonius says, brevity is the soul of wit. So thank you, To The Matt Cave. So Jason, To The Matt Cave. And Rage and the Gajan are in the Teacher's Lounge. What's going on in there today?
Well, I wish that there was something exciting going on in the Teacher's Lounge, but everybody went to the 30th century.
Well, time to raid the fridge, I guess.
Please raid their fridge, actually, because it's going to go bad if you don't.
There you go.
So, but welcome. No one's in there. We're all in the 30th century.
That's really funny.
So if you want to join him in the Empties Teacher's Lounge, it's only going to last so long. You can go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts or whatever you want to call it, podcast, any kind of podcast plays. Give us a 5-star review. Even if you got a screenshot and email us to it, geekhistorylesson@gmail.com. We'll read your 5-star review on the air. And don't forget to subscribe to us on everywhere you listen to podcasts. Ashley, where can they find us on social media?
You can find us on geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter @GHLpodcast, on Instagram @geekhistorylesson, and now on our brand new TikTok @geekhistorylesson.
I'm just going to throw this out there because we keep talking about it and we have prizes for it, but we don't do it. But this is for hopefully future Ashley in the future. That we should start doing some contests, some giveaways for people to go over there and follow us on TikTok.
Yes, we definitely will.
We got lots of prizes that would definitely work for
we
that.
Do.
So, Ashley, you can follow her on Twitter and Instagram @AshleyVRobinson. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @Jawin, J-W-I-I-N. And now it's time for...
Stick Around.
#StickAround. Because you stuck through all the plugs. Ashley, what are we talking about to end off the show?
Do you think Irish West should get a solo series?
No. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Geek History Lesson. Should we talk about it or should we just end the pod?
Honestly, we could just end the pod.
I love it. All right. The answer is no.
If you
no.
want more, come and listen to the extra.
That's right. The answer is no. All right. Thank you all for listening to this very confusing episode of Geek History Lesson that Ashley did a fantastic job in. And thank you again to our teaching assistant.
Meredith Harris.
Meredith Harris. Thank you also. Much.
I feel like I've given her two really difficult topics in a row and she crushed them both. So like truly my hat off to her for her work.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Jason. I don't even know what time period I'm in anymore. Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, will you please close out this podcast?
Class is now dismissed.